these loose ends and pieces and bring them to our Lord in prayer. So let us bring our lives to God in prayer. Listening God, you hear us when we call on you, and whether we are in need or we are celebrating the joys of life. And for this blessing, we give you thanks and praise. All compassionate God, today we bring our prayers of petition to you as we recognize and are challenged by the troubles of our world and its nations and for all its peoples. God, be fullness of life. To all who are depressed and distressed, bewildered or tormented, and God, be freedom for all people who are oppressed, persecuted, abused, and exploited. And God, be healing for all who are ill, injured, damaged, broken, or frail in mind or body. God, be a refuge, a safe haven and home when life storms and assailants engulf us. God, you alone are our hope when our reserves of inner strength are empty and we've reached rock bottom. When life seems pointless or we are too stressed to cope, all merciful God, today we bring our prayers of petition to you as we're concerned about the emotional stresses upon relationships between nations and their peoples. God, be serenity to all leaders of nations who are anxious or troubled for their people. God, be quietness to people who are overwhelmed by the noise and stresses of life. God, be tranquility and calmness to people overcome by violence and who live in fear. God, be a companion and comfort to all people who are grieving or experiencing loss. God, be hope for people who believe there is no hope, expectation, or future for them. God, be rest and respite for people who feel weary, drained of energy, or exhausted. And God, be hospitality and a welcome for people who have been rejected or abandoned. God, our rock and our redeemer, the one who is steady and secure, when all around us seems unstable and brittle, and the usual foundations of our life are shaken about and about to crumble. All loving God, today we bring our prayers of petition to you because we know there are people for whom life is an unbearable burden and who think there is never help for them. God, be strength and effectiveness for all who are elderly, weak and fragile, aged or infirm. God, be their security and protection and confidence. When people are frightened or scared, God, be a home for people who are unhoused or refugees or displaced and stateless people. God, be presence for people who are lonely and isolated, who feel they have been abandoned. And God, be faithfulness and steadfast love for people whose faith is weak, lost, or shattered. God, be peacefulness for people who want to die soon or who are very frightened of dying. O God, our God, you are our hiding place and place of embrace. You are our sure defense and our only hope. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 to 12. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast day, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this fast that I choose to loose the bounds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of the evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. So nice to be in your church. What a beautiful sanctuary. One of the neat things about my job is that I get to go to a lot of different churches and see how other people worship and love the music, so thank you for that. And it's great to be here. So I'm not much of a preacher, but I'm here today, and I hope to bring some light to your service. Fortunately, today's readings speak to Indwell's mission and values. So Indwell's a Christian charity. We create affordable housing communities that support people seeking health, wellness, and belonging. Most of our tenants live on less than $15,000 a year. That's about $1,200 a month. Most have experienced homelessness, and many have spent time in psychiatric hospital due to mental health challenges. So Indwell has three values that guide our interactions with our tenants and with each other and with our partners. And the first of these is dignity. We believe that all people are created in God's image and that all of us can be redeemed. We are not defined by the worst thing that we ever did. We believe that all people have dignity as children of God, and it's not something that you earn, that we all have it as a person created in God's image. We believe that God loves us all, that every single person is sacred, and that my value is no greater or less than yours or the person sleeping under a tarp near the river. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love is our second value. So this is a really radical idea. Jesus is asking us for a level of selflessness and inclusion of others that challenges me every day. Yet that's what we seek to do with our tenants, love them and create a community that accepts them and encourages them to love themselves as well. So in the reading from Isaiah today, we heard, "If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail." I love that promise to us from God. And then we heard from 1 John, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." So we hear this message of love again and again and again throughout the scriptures. It's what we're called to do. To love others as God has loved us is to offer compassion and grace again and again. First Baptist Church has been a shining example to all of us here in London of Christ's love. Your partnership with the Arcade Mission demonstrates your love for others, and especially those most marginalized. Thank you for doing that hard work to offer love and hope to our community. Many of our tenants look a lot like the folks that you've been serving. Most live with a mental health diagnosis. Many have lived in extreme poverty, experienced violence and other trauma. The mental health challenges our tenants include schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. Some of our tenants also experience profound depression and anxiety. And these mental illnesses can sometimes be complicated by addictions and other disabilities or health issues. So Jesus calls us to love everyone, but especially those at the margins. So our third value is hope. We can think about hope as a wish, like I hope it's sunny this weekend, or I hope the Maple Leafs have a good year. But when we talk about hope, we talk about a hope that's bigger than ourselves. As Christians, we believe in redemption, and we believe in renewal and an opportunity for transformation. We believe in a better future for each of our tenants, and we believe that we can end homelessness in our community. We hope for it, and that hope is rooted in the knowledge that anything is possible with God's love. And also because we've seen it. We've seen incredible transformations in our tenants. So, how do we bring these values to life? Well, we start with housing. We got our start in Hamilton over 45 years ago. It was one Christian couple's response to the closing of the psychiatric hospitals in the 70s. They took one woman into their home who was homeless, and today we've grown to support over 1,200 tenants in 7 cities. So we're in London, Hamilton, Woodstock, Simcoe, St. Thomas, Kitchener-Waterloo, and Mississauga. And these are some of our buildings in other cities. The one on the left there is our headquarters, so we have offices on the ground floor and housing on top. The one at the upper right is the Harvey Woods Loft, so that's in Woodstock. It's the old underwear factory that we converted into 80 units of housing. And the one on the lower right is an old Sunday school building in Simcoe that we created housing in. So I understand that that First Baptist is discerning the future of your church facilities and how it aligns with your mission. So here are a few church partnerships that we've been part of. So in Hamilton, we partnered with James North Baptist Church to build a new structure. So they own the building, and then we lease space for affordable housing on top of it. And that's the one you see on the upper right. And then in Kitchener, we have two partnerships. St. Mark's sold us their building for far less than it was appraised for, and then we're converting the whole building into 43 apartments. St. Peter's retained ownership of their building, but it's a really big building, and they had a lot of spaces that were not used. So they're leasing 3/4 of the building back to Indwell to convert into 41 apartments. But Indwell is more than housing, more than a roof over your head. We also offer on-site supports to help our tenants remain housed and to focus on their life goals. So these supports can include things like nursing to help folks with their medications and to be advocates for them within the health system. We serve a daily hot meal at many of our programs. We offer a lot of programming to build skills and to build social connections, both within the building and connected outside of the building. We do a lot around food. Food's wonderful, just like your soup lunch today. So let's hear directly from some of our tenants. I'll hope the video works.
I'm a 30-year-old low-income widow senior. Being close to 9 years widow, and I had been in love with one year before becoming a tenant to the AOL. I was pretty much homeless. I did a lot of couch surfing and died in a basement for 18 months.
That I hated. And then I got a call that I was getting that interview with Inwell. And here I am.
It means a lot because I get to meet new people, try new things, even sports outside. And the people in the community around here is what I really enjoy.
Well, Inwell, when you really think of the name, it kind of thinks of, it's kind of on the line of helping people that are homeless and don't have a place to live, and kind of helps them out, you know, get back on the right track and on their meds and getting planning meals, you know, good meals, not bad meals.
I was able to become more independent and my mental health became more stable because I was taking my medication properly.
The programs that is here at Inwell, it's really good because it helps to bring people together. And a lot of people are shy, and when they come out, it makes a lot of difference, you know, not sitting inside your unit and, you know, being depressed or being bored. And there's so many different programs. You're not limited to one thing. There's, you know, exercising, there's card playing. So everyone can participate.
Yeah, I got to Quato for a while there, over a year. And Indwell was there for me for the whole thing. They took me to appointments. They even came all the way to London with me. And I would say if they weren't there, I might have died, honestly.
Well, staff have backed me, trying to get me to stay on my meds. I keep on going off them, I gotta stay on them. They impacted me about keeping on my meds and making my sugars be right, because I'm diabetic, and they've helped out a lot keeping me on the meds. If not, I wouldn't have been on them at all. Yeah.
It means everything. It means my own private space. I can relax, rejuvenate, regroup. I can cook for myself because I have my own fridge.
For my future right now, mentally, I'm in such a better place that I'm now looking for something part-time to do as far as work goes. And now, being in a better place, I can actually say, I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm just going to keep moving forward.
Actually, living here has kind of helped me motivate to better myself, because it's hard out there, like sleeping on the streets, you know, and people are not eating, and here I feel at home, where I'm literally at home. Like, I feel comfortable, and I feel like I have a safe place, and that's a big thing nowadays. And knowing that I can always turn to Indwell for help and they'd be there no matter what. It's a good feeling.
For me personally, it has put me in a better place. And because I'm in here now, I have the ability to do something with my future. And mentally, I feel better. I can see a light. Before, it was all dark. Inwell is doing an awesome job, and they need your support. We need to come together as a community and help each other, and they're helping a lot of people out there.
Yeah, so it's always really great to hear directly from our tenants. They're often way better than I at describing the impact that that we can have. I'm very struck by the man who said that Indwell saved his life, and this is something that we actually hear quite a bit from our tenants. So let's talk a little bit about London. First Baptist knows firsthand about how people are suffering in our city. Canada is one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and yet across our nation, we have many, many, many hundreds and thousands of homeless people. In London, we have over 400 people sleeping every night completely unhoused in tents and along our rivers and in doorways. There's 1,900 people that are considered homeless. These are folks in shelters, couch surfing, or unsheltered. And over 200 people have died since 2020. So 3 years ago, Indwell opened its first building in London, a 66-unit building in downtown called Woodfield Gate. And this was a great partnership that we had with St. Joe's Mental Health Care Program, where we took folks that were basically living in hospital, in psychiatric hospital. They might be in and out, you know, discharged, but discharged to homelessness or discharged to a really awful rooming house or something like that. And then their mental health would decline and they'd end up right back. And so it was this dehumanizing cycle, but also very expensive cycle, because it costs about $600 a day to have somebody in psychiatric care. So those folks moved in, and most are continue to be very successfully housed with us. And it also then has opened up the flow at St. Joe's so that they can serve more people and aren't having to serve people in hallways who are in a mental health crisis. So the second building opened last year. It's called Embassy Commons. That's the one you see on top with the beautiful mosaics. And this is in Old East London, where the old Embassy Hotel used to be. It's a 72-unit building with some ground floor commercial. And then this year, we entered into a partnership with the City of London to open Thompson Road Apartments. So this is 44 apartments in the building that remains owned by the city. And so tenants are just starting to move in now. They're all coming from that list of 1,900 people that are on the by names list. And we hope to have it full in the next month or so. So, and then an exciting project is the Vision Soho Alliance. So this is a partnership with five other nonprofit housing developers. And together we've purchased part of the old Victoria Hospital grounds on South Street. You can see down below the vision for that space. So the two circled buildings are the only buildings of those seven that you see there that are actually still there. Those are the heritage hospital buildings. The others will be built by our partners. In total, we're going to create 680 apartments. Some of them will be affordable and some of them will be market rent. Indwell is going to do the two heritage buildings. So on the right, you see the old War Memorial Children's Hospital. Some of you, I'm sure, worked there or had your tonsils out there or have a connection to that space. And the other is the Health Services Building, which was the medical school. So together, we're in those two buildings, we're going to create 138 deeply affordable, supportive housing. And then our partners are doing the Rest. If you haven't been by, I encourage you to take a drive by or a walk by there. Shovels are in the ground, and we're building. So this is the War Memorial Children's Hospital, and we've cleaned the space out, and work will begin there as soon as we can shore up some government funds. And then that's the health services building. That's the larger of the two buildings. So we've been in the War Memorial Children's Building, and this next slide shows the work that's being done to clean that building out. So it was full of mold. So lots had to be done there. Let's see, where am I at? So, yes, many churches ask, well, how can we help? So we certainly ask for your prayers for us and for our tenants. We ask you to invite others to share what you've learned tonight about Indwell, because a lot of people don't know who we are. There are volunteer opportunities to work directly with tenants, but also in facilities maintenance or fundraising. And then, of course, we are a charity, and we raise about 10% of our funds from the community. So right now we're raising money for the War Memorial Children's Hospital, and we can then use that money to leverage funds from the government. And right now, between now and the end of the year, all the gifts are going to be doubled. We have a donor who's put up $350,000 in matching funds. So great opportunity there. So supportive housing makes it possible for people with serious mental health challenges to gain renewed self-respect and independence, and to achieve stability, wellness, and belonging, to transform their lives. With love and dignity and hope, we can end homelessness in our community. So thanks so much for having me, and I will be part of your soup lunch, so I look forward to talking with you after the service.